Greetings, growers from around the world. Jordan River here. I'll tell you when your soil's dry. Today we got Rizo Rich. He is back on the line for a different type episode. We'll be right back to cultivation advice and cultivation science. But we're still talking about the grow industry, just kind of the more meta aspects, talking about etiquette in the grow industry and some kind of thought experiments, putting ourselves in recent guests' shoes. Listen, it's a little different, but I know you're going to love today's episode. Before we get into it with Rizo Rich, though, I'm going to give some love to Beanstalk Agriculture. Everybody, I'm using Beanstalk in my garden right now. Go to beanstalkcrf.com. Code GROWCAST gets you 15% off your entire order. Beanstalkcrf.com. That's controlled release fertilizer. And I'm telling you, this might be the easiest way to grow. As far as ease, this is the single most easy way to provide nutrients for your plants. I'm looking right now at the Wicked Deep Strawberry by Mad Farmer sitting in the Pro Mix with one application of Beanstalk Agriculture for veg. And then when you up pop, one more application of Beanstalk Agriculture, and that's it. And I'm telling you, this thing is beasting out. It's absolutely beautiful. I'll try to get it up on Instagram, but those in Discord have seen it. God dang, this Beanstalk Agriculture. This is the future of fertilizer, and it's got everything your plant needs. You put it in inert media. Saves time, saves money, beastly plants, and it seems to be providing just about everything the plant needs. No signs of deficiencies. Using plain water, I throw in some microbes. Like I said, it's the future of fertilizer. BeanstalkCRF.com, code GROWCAST saves you a whopping 15%. Give it a try, folks. You will not be disappointed. Beanstalk Agriculture. All right, let's get into it with Rizo Rich. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, I urge you to share GrowCast. Spread the show. Tell a grower. Make sure you subscribe so you catch every episode. And check out patreon.com/GrowCast for a ton of extra content, weekly live streams, and so much more, including the Discord, Growers Chat. All right, what are we doing today? Oh, we've got another awesome exploration with team member Rizo Rich. What up, Rich?
How's it going, man? How you doing?
Hey, so good to have you back on, buddy. Doing very good. Got a ton of good feedback on our last episode. You know, Rizo Rich, he's a team member. He's a very talented grower. But I just like rapping with you about kind of the, I mean, I don't even really know how to put it. Just kind of like the ancillary stuff about the grow game. And that's really what we're talking about today. Some stuff that's come up on recent episodes. Some, I don't know if moral quandaries is the right word. But this is like
pretty good.
It's like a perfect perfect topic for us to discuss here, and as Rizo Rich is the guest. So thank you for joining us today, Rich.
Thank you, man, and thank you to all the listeners for tuning in.
So it's funny. I guess we'll just jump right into recent happenings on the show that I wanted to discuss with you. It's funny because since that Jinx Proof episode, I got a lot of feedback on that Jinx episode, you know, him talking about, he talked about a lot of things on that episode, you know, his work in Oklahoma and his strains, but he also brought up, some of the less savory cannabis companies that were, that were plagiarizing his likeness and F2ing his strains without his permission and selling them. And it just really got me thinking, man. And we got to talking off air about this, about the way that the cannabis industry forms its etiquette and what we focus on when it comes to breaking that etiquette. F2ing is one of those things. Before I get into my kind of thought experiment, I'll just throw it to you and ask you what you think about this I don't want to say fixation, but this, I don't know, this etiquette of staying away from F2ing other people's work and selling it.
Yeah, it is a very touchy subject. as you know, I started doing some breeding more recently, you know, for Seedco. And it's something I had to think about quite a bit, you know. I get people all the time that message me and want certain things that I have that may not necessarily be available for them to buy in seeds anymore. And you know, they ask, you know, am I going to F to it or anything like this? And where I kind of stand with it personally is I do have a hard time with taking somebody's work, F toing it, and then making a profit off of it. You know, It is, as somebody who's done some breeding, and I'm not, you know, some big, super special breeder or anything by any means, but, you know, after doing it, it's kind of something that I teeter totter on, you know. Personally, I don't F2 things and sell them. If I F2 something, I'm going to give it away as freebies or something, but I'm not going to
profit
off of it, you know. And I feel like that's somebody else's work. You know, they originally put those, right, you know, two original strains together and thought it would be a good idea. That's more of what they wanted to do. But on the other hand, I also know that some people are, you know, buying packs and taking the time to pheno hunt through them and find the very best of the F1s, you know, male and female that they can find, and making great F2s. And, you know, it is kind of a thing where it's like, you know, if somebody's going to take their time to do that, what's really the difference, you know, than crossing anything else? They still had to hunt and look for something. And,
yes, that's what I want
like
to dig
I said,
into.
Personally, I don't like it, but it is something that I do see some breeders F2ing other people's work and selling them. And then there's people like me who aren't really comfortable with it. And I kind of had to ask myself why, you know, and look at it from both sides. And that's kind of what I came up with. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a strange situation.
No,
but
I like that take. And that's exactly what I want to dig into is, what is the difference? What is the difference between someone
nothing.
Taking
really
truthfully
you're still hunting seeds?
There is no difference, but there's a reason for that. Okay. I want to be clear. I want to be clear about a few things. First of all, I'm not taking a stance one way or the other. This is simply a thought experiment. And then secondly, I want to be clear. This is about digging into the intent. That's really what I think it is. I think it's more about the intent than anything else, because the reason we have that F2 etiquette is simple. You can just take someone's, you can buy one pack of somebody who's taken a lot of time to build a brand, a lot of time to formulate these strains. Maybe they worked very, very hard for years and years to get these strains just the way they wanted. You take one pack, you smash two together, you start your own seed company, you start profiting off of someone else's hard-earned work, maybe even their likeness. Super, super clear.
That's not cool. Yeah. And, you know, there is a part of me that, like I said, I don't like it either, because it is somebody else's original plan. You know, like, I wanted to put these two strains together and make this, and you're kind of just doing the next step for them, basically. And, you know, it's something that as a breeder or somebody who's doing this, you really have to decide what your stance is. You know, what I also don't like is, like you just said, you can buy one pack, slap something together, and then all of a sudden, you know, like in Jinx's case, you know, he has the 9-pound hammer. Now all of a sudden you have 9-pound hammer F2s, and you're calling them 9-pound hammer F2s because you want to be correct about it. But at the same time, I could see where the original person would be upset, because when you have people who there's, you know, new people coming into growing and stuff, they don't really understand that difference. So they just see the 9-pound hammer, and they may buy that person's seeds and get a very bad representation.
Yes, exactly.
Of what Jinx didn't want, you know, Jinx didn't want that representation really showing or something. You know, maybe this person picked terrible phenos out of the F1s and just slapped them together, you know? So
you're so right. So that's it's clear why people are distasteful about it, but drilling down, I don't think it has anything to do with the F2ing part. It's about the intent. It's about they put no work into it. And I'm going to prove this point by putting forth a thought experiment. And it's a hypothetical, and it's kind of an unrealistic thought experiment. But that's kind of how you explore these moral quandaries, as they say. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give you two examples: Breeder A and Breeder B. Breeder A does he's like everybody's breeder hero. He does a huge pheno hunt with a bunch of different strains. He pops hundreds of seeds, all sorts of different packs, and he hunts through every single one of them. And he picks the two best from every seed that he popped, and they happen to be from the same pack. And then he goes and he works that, and he fucking stress tests them, and he goes through all the trouble, and he does all the things, but it is an F2. But he put in all the work, compared to Breeder B, who does an F2, but he takes the two hottest strains. He's never bred before. He pops the two seeds. He doesn't grow any of them out. He doesn't know what they look like. He slams two together. He makes a cross, and he goes and he sells it for a bunch of money and he starts his company. Now,
male and female he finds, basically.
Right. Never seen how they flowered out. Never grown before, breeder bee. Doesn't smoke weed. All of the things you hate about. Doesn't even like weed smokers. But he didn't F2. Who is the cannabis industry going to be more respectful of in that scenario? You understand what I'm saying? I don't think it's about F2ing itself. Yeah. I don't think it's about the F2ing itself. I think it's about the intent behind it. And more specifically, capitalizing off of someone else's work without doing your own. It's the shortcut aspect that people don't like. I think it has less to do. And again, I'm not like...
That's a good way to put it, the shortcut aspect. I mean, you don't even have to think of a name, you know? And if it's a hype strain, the name's already made for you. And like I said, you can easily take advantage of a group of people just by slapping that hype name in front of it. In front of that F2.
Again, I think it's the lack of work, the lack of effort, maybe the dishonesty, all of those things that go along with what a lot of these people are doing. But the F2ing itself is really what people focus on. And who's to say someone didn't put a lot of work into those F2s? And again, I'm not qualifying anything or even saying that we should stop being mad at people who... I'm literally just trying to do a thought exploration here. And it's changed.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, and it's changed my opinion of it, because to me, it's just more about how much work did the breeder put in and what are they charging for their work? And did they rip off someone else's likeness and name?
Yes.
That's a bridge too far. But again, it's something we've discussed. There are laws about that in other industries. The fact is, none of this stuff is illegal. There are no patents on genetics. You can give the guy credit who put the two plants together, but these plants have been around way longer than that guy. So it really is like, just kind of deal with it. There are no laws about it, except when it comes to ripping off someone's likeness. You're not allowed to do that in other industries. You'll get sued.
Oh, yeah, definitely, dude. You know. The cannabis industry makes it very easy to do something like that and not really have repercussions. So, you know, there's a lot of people who see that and are able to, you know, take advantage of it and take that shortcut, like you said. So that's why, you know, I can totally see why somebody would be pissed off about it. But then, like you said, there's a whole nother side of the person who may be, you know, actually working the F1s to make F2s. So.
And I don't think many people do that. It is a slippery slope. I don't think many people do that just because of the way that the industry looks at it, you know, which is fine. I mean, like I said, it's obvious why we look at that the way that we do look at that, for the reasons we explained earlier. But really thinking about it, I was like, man, does it really have anything to do with the F2, the second generation, the filial generation number two? Or is it just more about the intent behind it? I think that's the core issue and what people are really turned off by.
Oh, absolutely, man. I do see that. You know, there is stuff that's been F2'd. I see other people selling and nobody really says anything about it. And I think it is probably, it boils down to maybe the situation, you know, and maybe it's a genuine F2 and the other person didn't give a shit. And then I see the opposite. So,
yeah, interesting stuff, man.
It really is. It's something I don't think people think the entire both side thing over to, but you know, when you think about it, it's a very interesting subject. And you make a really good point about the intent behind it is a very big factor.
So it's funny because when it boils down to it, we got all these thoughts, we got all these feelings, very little laws, very little, you know, legal recourse or repercussion or protection or regulation. People just end up screaming about it on Instagram or outing that guy, putting this guy on blast. Like it really does create for kind of a shit show.
It does, man. The whole side with breeding and genetics is just hard for people to navigate, you know. Like some breeders will be, you know, like personally, I don't care if you buy seeds from me or whatever, like do whatever you want with them, breed with them, sell cuts if you find something good. I don't care, you know what I mean? But
there are
people that, you know, do care about stuff like that and don't want you to give something out, or so it can be hard to navigate for some people, you know, and figure out like, what am I supposed to do? I need to ask permission. And then, like you said, there's no actual like legal recourse like there is in other industries. It's very hard to copyright or get anything like that done in the cannabis industry with strains.
You think it's coming?
Ooh, I don't know, man. I think it probably is. You know, the bigger and bigger it gets, it's going to, you know, eventually have to be addressed by, the quote unquote higher ups.
You're so right, man. That's all the bullshit that regulation is going to bring. It's going to bring patents and protections on genetics. Ugh.
Yeah, so weird to think about, man. And there's so many genetics out there. Like, you can always create something new anyway, you know? Like, if you want to make something new, you don't have to fucking go to somebody else. You can do it yourself. You can make something.
Yep. Damn right, man. Well, I like that. That's why we jive well. But yeah, I totally agree with that.
No need to copy anybody, you know?
That is an episode that got me thinking about a lot of stuff, though. I know we were discussing a lot of it off air, because it's just funny, man. It's an infinitely complex scenario.
It really is.
Yeah, with a rich history. We will be right back with Rizo Rich. Before that, shout out to one of our long-standing partners, AC Infinity, everybody. ACInfinity.com. Code GROWCAST15 saves you 15%, and send us a screenshot of you using our codes to be entered to win free seeds every single month. No limits on that, folks. Any code you use, anytime you use one. AC Infinity, though, you can pick up a lot of stuff from ACI, man. They, of course, are the industry leaders in ventilation. They've got the best inline fans, their Cloudline series. Whether it's the Smart T series or the Simple S series, AC Infinity is hands down my highest recommended, highest rated ventilation partner. But they're really taking over the grow game by storm. They've got tents that are so sexy. They've got trimming scissors and fabric pots. They've got a light coming soon. Stay tuned for that. GrowCast15. Go pick some up right now. Upgrade your tent. Upgrade your ventilation for sure. It's the only company I'd recommend. Great value, great products. ACInfinity.com. GrowCast15 for 15% off. All right, everybody, let's get back to it with team member Rizo Rich. There was another point I wanted to bring up here, another reference to a recent episode. We talked about this off air as well. Soil Guru, recent guest, first time guest, great guest, got a lot of great feedback. Did you catch that episode?
I have not listened to the entire thing yet, but I started it when I was in the grow last night.
And I gave you the synopsis.
And it was great so far, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of gave you the download anyways, but the part that I wanted to focus in on was something that, again, it's just sometimes I do an episode and it just kicks around in my head for a while. But he kind of told his story, crazy story from working at Apple and starting his own business and building up the soil business. And we were kind of talking about the future of building his business. And one of the things he said was, you know, it's funny, you work so hard building the sustainable business and you're working hard for your family every day. You're putting in the hours as a business owner, you're risking it all. And you think about, you know, if one day Monsanto or Scotts comes to me and offers me $10 million for this company, it's like, of course I'm going to say yes, is basically what he said. And I responded with what I still stand by, which is, I think most of us would like to say that we'd be able to look those corporate suits in the eye and be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right.
But virtually nobody is going to do that. Like, I think virtually nobody says no to that check. No matter how much you don't like the, and maybe not no matter how much, like maybe if you're a multi-generational farmer and Monsanto actually fucked over your grandpa, you know what I mean? Like closed down his farm.
Yeah, you might have some reasons. Yeah, then for sure.
I'm sure there's
but
some
just the
people.
Average everyday person who doesn't have a story like that. Behind
exactly.
That starts a company. I think you're right. I think most of us would like to say no. But, you know, when it comes down to it and you look at the check, it's pretty hard to say, hey, let me, you know, I finally made it. Let me take this money and fuck it. I'll just start another company. I already built up this reputation. Just let my loyal customers know, you know, like this is going to something else. You want to follow me? Come to this company. Like there's ways around it, you know, but it's still I mean, who wouldn't take a shit ton of money like that for, you know, building up a small business. I think that's what you build up a small business to do is eventually make it, right?
Right. Well, that's
most
I like what
time.
You said, which is, you know, people imagine that they just cash out this check and then go swim in a big pile of money. But I don't think the Soil Guru or the vast majority of these entrepreneurs would do that. I think they'd either move into something very similar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If not soil, then microbes or something. Like you don't just You don't just stop contributing to the community and,
and all around. It's not just because you took a check, you're done and you can't do anything anymore. Like, you take that check and maybe you do something better than the last company you did, you know?
That's very optimistic.
To have to sell out to somebody like that. And like I said, Aaron, you said it's not something that everybody would do in every situation, I think, but I think the majority of us would want to take that money and start something, you know, something else and better your life at the same time.
I think virtually everybody says yes to that check. And again, it's like, this is something I said in the episode, if you have a family, that's like turning down multi-generational wealth or possible multi-generational wealth is almost irresponsible at that point. And the alternative is also interesting though, right? Because again, like, I'm no Monsanto fan, but could I blame someone for not taking that check? I don't think that I'm capable of that. Cause again, in that scenario,
I can sympathize.
Yeah. And then here's the other thing. Okay. So let's say you say no, like, I don't think you dealt a blow, unfortunately, to these massive, you put your foot down for your own integrity and your own moral purposes, which is great, but you didn't strike at Monsanto. In fact, now they might just try to rip off your shit.
They
now
might try to fuck with you more, actually, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, you know, they'll keep your products from getting in other stores and shit like that, you know, because they have such a big say in everything.
That's so fucked up. So again, it's like, what are you even accomplishing? It just got me thinking down a lot of paths. And yeah,
I think it depends on the business too. You know, if you're a quote unquote small business that's turned into something huge and you're just making huge profits every year to begin with, it may not be your worth to sell, you know, but worth your time to and shit. But then again, I guess it all really depends on what that number is that comes up, you know?
No, that's true. And your business acumen, how well equipped you feel to scale the company and take it further. Like, Purity Coffee is not selling anytime soon because we're exploding. That's exactly right. If someone approaches you with a check, but you're making so much and you see the upside potential.
You're making $10 million a year. Yeah. You might have to come up, you know, with a check, 100 or 500 million, something that makes you go,
exactly,
well, this is the next 10 year profit. Can I keep this going 10 years? Should I just take the money? Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to depend on numbers and shit like that. But I think overall, a huge check for somebody in small business, people who start small businesses, like I said, they usually start them to make money and, you know, build them into something bigger if possible, and maybe eventually cash out on it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I thought it was a very interesting thing. Again, I don't know who out there could fault someone, especially if they would probably do the same thing if faced with the scenario. And then at the same time, it would feel real icky. Like, I would hate having to cash that check especially if it was like someone who's really bad, like Monsanto. But even if
it would be a hard one, man.
What if it was, I mean, if it's just some random ag company, like, you never heard of them, it's like, fuck, man, of course you're going to take that. So I don't know. It's just interesting.
No, I hear you, man. It is very, very interesting. And I appreciate Soil Guru's honesty on that. You know, I think it's something a lot of people don't want to talk about or admit, or everybody wants to say, you know, fuck them and I would never take their money. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's a conversation that's very interesting to hear.
And there's just so many gray areas,
especially
right?
From other small business owners.
And you're right. Shout out to Soil Guru for being like open and transparent about that. And the fact is, man, I think there's a lot of weirdness about profit in general in the cannabis community.
100%.
Yes, it comes, the community is kind of birthed and aligned with and born out of that kind of 60s movement, right? And a lot of that is a distaste for any kind of profit. And I kind of still like, listen, I'm an entrepreneur myself, right? Like I like building the Growcast brand. I like engaging in the media marketplace, all that stuff. But I also kind of side with those people in general, which is like, man, there's so many gray area arguments about profit in general. Like, let me try to articulate this. There's people fighting for farmers' rights to profit, which goes directly against a low-cost product. There are other guests that'll say, you know, cannabis should be as cheap as possible. It should be as cheap as a sunflower. I forget who it was that said that. But they said, you know, growing sunflowers is hard. And that's kind of where I land. So I sympathize with a lot of their values, but what I don't get is knocking someone for making a buck because someone's going to make that buck now that we're legal.
Yeah.
And I think it should go to the right people.
That's how I feel. I have no problem with somebody making a living and making a profit off of the cannabis industry, and people are going to do it. So I would much rather see, you know, people who are doing this before legalization and have their asses on the line, or people that are genuine about it, getting into these newer business positions or whatever, instead of just some, you know, guy who was an accountant in the middle of nowhere who decided all of a sudden, I'm going to fucking start a cannabis grow and make a, you know, $1 million facility.
Right.
All this shit. So yeah, man, if you have something and you're able to make a living and you're a good person in the community, fucking go for it, man. I'd much rather see somebody like that doing shit in our community.
I would agree, because the pipe dream is
going to do it anyway.
Yeah. The pipe dream is that there's just going to be free weed and no one's going to profit. And it's going to be that's an idealistic pipe dream.
That's crazy.
I think the closest we get to that is we get as many people growing as we can, because that's the cheapest way. And then we kind of just we overgrow the nation, right? Like, I think that's the closest thing you can get to that idea of like nobody is reaping the rewards of what is a healing plant that grows from a seed and costs very little money. But yeah, listen, that's just, there are going to be people making lots of money off of this. I don't think anyone would argue with you, Rich, that if there's going to be profit, we want it going to people with the best interest in the community
people.
In mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
How could you
Hell
argue
yeah,
with that?
Dude. Yeah. And you know what? I see a lot of these people, those exact people, quote unquote OGs, starting businesses and doing really good, you know, because the cream of the crop rises to the top and shit, you know? So
I like that, man.
I have no problem with it. And the only people I usually see complaining about it are people who aren't really doing anything to begin with. And it's like, where does that old way of thinking, like, you know, come in these days? I mean, there's nothing wrong with making a living doing something you love. Why should cannabis be any different?
I totally
than art
agree.
Or,
yeah,
you know, anything else, dude. I see it as a certain art form. So, I mean, it just, I don't know, man. I have no problem with it. I think once again, your intent thing comes back into play too. Like, what is your intent? Are you giving back to the community and profiting? You know, if
totally.
You're able to give back and you don't, and you're just pulling in money and say fuck the community, that's a different story. But you know, if somebody's making money and also giving back and doing a bunch of shit, then what's the problem? You know,
man, I
see a lot of people that are doing that in the community. A lot of people give back, man. So
I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly right. And it's about highlighting those people, not having the hater mentality of, you know, knocking other people down for their successes. I do think there's like I said, there's like a lot of fight over the profit. And good moral arguments to be made. You know, some people saying we got to protect the farmers. You know, these farmers can't make a living. Other people saying, like, no, let's make medicine as cheap as possible. But what nobody's arguing for is overtaxation and, you know, unhealthy corporate cannabis. And like you said, these scamsters and haters, like nobody's fighting for that. So I think we just need to do our best and vote with our dollar. Right. And then,
oh, yeah,
honestly, just kind of suck it up, because this is shit is moving forward. Like there's
it's moving fast.
Yeah.
And there's big fucking money in it. Like big, you know, big money.
Get used to it.
Illinois made more tax revenue on cannabis this whole year than they did alcohol.
Jeez,
it's a lot
man.
Of money, dude.
Well,
you can't ignore that shit.
Well, we're going to strike back at that as we get more and more people growing their own before they start to fuck with these home grow laws. Keep that between us. Keep that here on the podcast, listeners.
Well, I mean, it's funny because Illinois, you know, they have shortages. You can't go into the dispensary and buy, you know, everybody can't go in there and buy what they need if they wanted to buy the full amount. At least from what I understand, a lot of people get limited. You know, they can't just buy an ounce. You know, and people yell at the state like they need to get more cultivators, and they truly do. But, you know,
you're a cultivator,
you think about
too,
it, from the state's eyes. Do they really give a shit? Look at all the money they're still pouring in. Like people say it's trash weed, and it is. It most of it is trash. You know, it's grossly overpriced. It's grossly taxed.
Yes.
And it's gross weed.
Yes.
But you know what? I don't think the state's hearing anybody say anything about it, because when they look at the numbers and the revenue's higher than alcohol, they go, well, people are still buying it. Why are we going to implement all this new shit? And, you know,
oh man,
make people grow better and get more growers in when we're already making, you know, a fuck ton of money as it is. And that's why they take their time with it. So, you know, it's a shame, but That's just what I see in Illinois.
You're preaching, man. I could not agree more. That's fucking dead on. And what I would say to that guy, you know, the customer complaining about shortages and lack of cultivators.
Grow your own.
Yeah, you're a cultivator too, man. It's just a seed in a ground. It's just a seed in the ground or in a pot.
Yeah, man.
A couple of nutrients. I mean, shit, even if you fuck up your first run, you know, in multiple ways, you're still going to get a better harvest and a better quality.
You are.
The dispo weed is, even if it's good,
it's terrible here.
It's terrible. Even if it's well-grown, even in, rarely you get a well-grown Illinois bud, it's always old. It's always old. Every time.
Never cured or anything.
How is there a shortage and it's old? That's like not possible.
Yeah, I don't know. It is. Illinois is just a very weird state. Like I said, it's like shortage, overtaxed, people complain about the quality and this, that, and the other. And then you look at the numbers and it's like, well, fuck, man. I'm not hearing you, you know? You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't even think we really have rosin yet on the market. You know, I've heard of a few companies carrying it here and there, but, you know, we're still behind the times on that even. So,
oh, dude.
Illinois's got a lot of catching up to do.
Big time.
I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
I can't find rosin. I can't find, if I go into Zen Leaf, I always say there are no good dispensaries in Illinois, but I do choose one. My favorite of none of the good ones. My favorite of none of the good ones is Zen Leaf St. Charles. They got some nice people working there and stuff, but they don't have rosin. I can't pick up rosin.
Crazy,
I can't pick up organic flour. I can't pick up
whenever you've gotten flower, I heard somebody say this the other day, and I've noticed it from all the pictures I've seen from people's stuff, because I've still yet to go in an Illinois dispensary. I went with you the one time and sat in the parking lot, remember? But, you know, people bring me stuff or whatever, but I haven't been in one. And what I've noticed, though, is somebody said the other day on Instagram, they're like, where are all the top colas going in Illinois? Like, nobody ever gets a top bud, like a decent sized bud. They're all these little popcorn buds every single time. And anytime somebody has ever brought me buds from the dispensary, they're always these little tiny popcorn
Yo,
buds.
Oh, this
never,
is a
not even like medium buds, you know?
This
Let
is a conspiracy.
A good
You're 100% right.
Where are they going?
I've been here for years. I've been going to that dispensary since the pilot program was young. I mean, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago I started going to Zen Leaf. I've never seen like a single gram or even, I'm sorry, a single bud or even two bud eighth. I've never, ever seen it. Now, does that mean that their tops are so small and they just buck them down into a couple of nugs? Or
probably.
You think so? Because I was going to say,
I think they're just bucking them down smaller, maybe. But even so, dude, like I said, every time I've seen them, they, you know, you can kind of tell the difference. The top bud is usually, you know, slightly more dense and, you know, than a lower bud. And every time I've seen it, it always looks like true lower buds. You know, they're never anything that great. Yeah. If somebody works at one of these places, just write us and tell us, you know, where they're going or
where they're going. Oh my God. I know for a fact we have Illinois licensed cultivators listening to this podcast.
Oh yeah.
I need to know, are you guys growing in 1 gallon pots? Are you, this sounds like a dig. I'm not tearing into you. I'm genuinely wondering where those fat tops go.
Yeah, no, it was a nice, because, well, how about this? All these companies advertise too, when they do have like a half ounce thing for sale, they're like half ounce popcorn nugs, blah, 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 blah. What? Where is like the top shelf, you know, half ounce, get really nice looking buds? Like you want when you go to your dealer and you come back and you're like, wow, these are, you know, really nice buds I got here, dude. And it's like every single time you're going to get shit little tiny, you know, I don't want to buy a half ounce and get all tiny shitty ass buds.
It's bizarre, man. It's bizarre. The West
why
Coast.
Why don't they have a product like available? And even if they charge people more for those good buds, like it's Illinois. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised they're not doing that.
It's,
you know,
it's such a scam too, because you haven't been inside one. So you don't quite understand the full madness, but everything about it is a scam. Like, you're not allowed to see the product. You're not allowed to smell the product. Everything is prepackaged into eighths. Back on the West Coast, you'd walk into a dispensary and they would have like jumbo mason jars on the wall.
That's
behind
how it was
them.
In Oklahoma, dude. I could smell it, hold it.
And
everything, dude. They let me take a bud out and everything.
And the buds were a mix. It was what a jar would look like after you harvested. There were large buds. There were small buds. They would break them down if they needed to.
Right.
This is not that. This is hundreds and hundreds and thousands of thousands of little eighth jars, and each eighth has like five or six nuggets in it.
The eighths are not eighths. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's true too. They
give you the little jar, and you're like, I couldn't shove an eighth in that unless it was some PGR weed. You know?
Holy shit, dude! You crack me up, man. You tell it like it is.
Even with some of the denser strains I grow, I wouldn't be able to shove an eighth in some of these eighth jars that I've seen.
God damn, man! All right, investigation, conspiracy investigation. Are you down? Hidden
yeah.
camera?
I'd love to know. Oh my God, could you imagine? We keep it anonymous. If somebody could do that, please. That'd be awesome.
Holy shit. Yeah, I need to know more because I'd never really put that together. The top bud
conspiracy.
Yeah,
I didn't until I saw somebody put that up the other day and I was like, holy fuck, they're so right. I've never seen a top bud from any of these companies. Cause if you did, you know, it might actually be like, damn, they are growing something decent, but instead it's like all lower larfy bottoms.
Bizarre. Maybe it's 1 gallon pots. I don't know. It's super bizarre. Holy
weird.
Shit, man. Yeah. My mind is reeling. We only have a couple minutes here. We have a hard out here at the top of the hour. Plugs, man, plugs. Everyone needs to follow Rich on Instagram, Rizo_Rich_ICC. Correct?
Yes.
And then why not just throw this out? I mean, we were talking about breeding. We do have the GrowCast Seed Co. Our mission is to take care of the member community, but a lot of listeners have been posting and going, hey, I see Seed Co. now. What's the deal? So maybe give a little plug for Seed Co. Can we send people to growcastpodcast.com/order if they're interested in Seed Co.?
Hell yeah. Absolutely, man. If anybody's interested in some Seed Co. seeds, hit up exactly what he said and we'll take care of you.
I'm loving the Peach Quake. I pointed it out. I said that's
Isn't
the one that
beautiful?
I wanted. Dude, oh my God. Some of the pics you posted. I know you didn't even grow those. Those are grown by a member.
No, that's from an anonymous member, yeah. And
wow.
In not so legal state who's been keeping me updated on his pet. This guy has two different phenos, and they just look fantastic, man. Especially that darker looking one. Just it keeps catching my eye. I keep going back to it. It's super frosty. You can tell the Mac is coming through and the peach pie on it. And the buds are
chunky.
Really nice size looking buds.
Good
super
shape.
Chunky.
100%.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Beautiful shape, man. So yeah, that one definitely is one that is, I don't want to say surprising me because, putting a Mac stomper and a peach pie together, you would think you'd get something good, but it's exceeding my expectations, I guess you could say.
Nice, man. And again, our menus are updated. You can go to growcastpodcast.com/order to see everything. And I recommend the Peach Supernova, the Peach Quake. And then I'm really excited. It's sold out currently, but I have a pack of the Creature Feature, which is the TK Lotto crossed
with
the Ice Cream.
Yeah, the Jungle Boys TK Lotto.
Yeah, crossed with the Ice Cream Wolf, man. So I'm super excited about that.
That one's super fucking dank, man. Love that TK Lotto.
All right, everybody. Rich, thank you for taking the time, my friend.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you to all the listeners again. I appreciate everybody who listens and reaches out and says nice things.
Just a little episode wrapping. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had to get these thoughts out. I had all these thoughts in my head. So I know you guys enjoyed it, listeners. I hope I helped you kill some time in the garden. Reach out anytime. Hit us up. contact@growcastpodcast.com is our email. Check out membership at patreon.com/growcast. That's all for today. This is Jordan River and Rizo Rich signing off, saying be safe and grow smarter.
Later on.
That's our show for today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Growcast. Before we wrap it up, yes, Plant Revolution, plantrevolution.com. Now, they make the Great White line. You've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it in your hydro store. Pick it up if you haven't tried it. We love Plant Revolution. Their product, King Crab, this is really the one that I recommend first to everybody because it is a game changer in any grow. It doesn't matter what style you grow in. You're going to love it. Their Liquid Orca mycorrhiza is great. They've got a granular Great White myco. And don't sleep on the myco chum either, especially in a living soil. I see that myco chum just absolutely flourish. Plant Revolution, long-standing partners. We recommend every single one of their products. You'll see me wearing the King Crab hat. And they've got more stuff cooking under the hood all the time, folks. So be sure and try it. Again, one of our most beloved partners. over at Plant Revolution. PlantRevolution.com to find out more. Or just pick some up in your local hydro store. I bet they're in there. That's how big these guys are. That's all, everybody. Make sure to check out IllinoisCannaConsulting.com if you're interested in Rich's consulting work. Of course, Growcast Seed Co. You can find that at growcastpodcast.com/order. Yeah, just thank you to the regulars. Thanks to Jay Blanked for doing the beat. Haven't shouted him out in a while. Jay Blanked on SoundCloud. Stay tuned for travel dates. I know I just announced them. California coming up here as you're hearing this. That's all. Thank you. Thank you, listener. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.